God Talks to an Agnostic is presented by the Wilberry Theater Group in collaboration with AFRI Productions, with support from the Rhode Island Foundation's Bannister Black Philanthropy Fund and an Engagement Services and Resiliency Grant from the Rhode Island Department of Commerce. View the complete list of episodes on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. To find out more about the show or to learn more about how you can support our work, visit us online at thewilberrygroup.org.
Faith. I've always thought, found comfort in my. When I moved away from the church, religion actually, it had always been very clear to me that, well, it made no sense that some all-powerful, all-knowing being is out there in the heavens looking down on us. I mean, with what we know about the universe, it makes no sense. Logically, scientifically, how could that be? But people believe, most people, smart people, people who are the practitioners of the science that I use to justify my disbelief, scientists themselves believe, and I... So, here's the thing. 6 days ago, they predicted rain, that it would rain today. Then yesterday, the prediction changed and said it would be clear through the weekend and the rain wouldn't come until Monday. And last night, my brother Charlie came over. He talked about signs that, what he thought were signs from God, heaven, or signs that changed or caused him to change his life. To me, my logical brain, I can reason away the mystical, spiritual, blind faith signs from above stuff with logical, concrete, factual evidence. Charlie saw a light from above when he got baptized. Later that week, a mystical belly dancer speaking in a strange tongue proclaimed that she sees in him Hala, the light. Then years later, decades later, by happenstance, she sees and remembers him. Mind you, this happens at a moment when he is in a hyper-emotional state. We recently lost our father. But seeing her and the fact that she remembered him after 2.5 decades, and the only word she says to him is Hala, Arabic for light, as in halo. So it is very easy to see how all of this can be interpreted as a sign. These random but seemingly interconnected occurrences make for pretty solid justification that one is being given a sign or signs. And growing up in the church, and for your entire life, you've been taught that such signs are the doings of the Almighty and have occurred throughout history, biblical history. It is hard not to believe. And Charlie does. He believes. He truly believes. Listening to him last night, it was really compelling. This 40-year-old man, smart man, a man of the world, away from the church for most of his adult life, sharing, being his most sincere, sharing a personal side that few, if any, have seen. I was moved that he chose to share with me, and still, knowing he's coming from this heartfelt, genuine place of true belief, I'm rationalizing. Breaking it down, I'm thinking, this all started with a camera flash. A camera flash that he mistook for a heavenly light. Uncle Buddy's non-film developing, Johnny-on-the-spot camera flash. And that same week, he goes into work feeling good about himself in a really good place, and Gia, the mystical belly dancer, sees a happy busboy and notices the difference in his demeanor and interprets it as the light. Hala. Then, decades later, she sees the only black person to have worked at that restaurant at the time, who also happened to be a very popular high school football all-star who was frequently in the local papers, and she remembers him. That all makes sense, right? Right? Right. And why does all of this matter? Why does any of this matter? It matters because it's raining. Six days ago, they forecasted rain for today. Yesterday, The forecast changed and said the rain would not come until Monday, 2 days from now. Then my brother visited me last night talking about the signs that his faith told him, newfound faith, mind you, told him these signs were messages from God. And today, not Monday, not 2 days from now, today it is raining. My rational, logical self says, weather forecasts change all the time. It's the weather. That's the logical me, which before last night was the only me. For 6 days, I waited for this rain, could not focus, could not contain myself, could think of nothing else. I imagined myself standing in my backyard naked, absorbing every drop, and now it's raining. So why am I here, inside, staring through these large glass sliding doors, looking out at the rain? I wonder, to a degree, feel kind of embarrassed as I think about it. I wonder, am I now being confronted with my years of self-righteous indignation toward people of faith and now clinging to my own beliefs? I never thought of it, well, myself in these terms. Having a belief, my beliefs, my, all things being equal, faith. To be agnostic is to not believe, isn't it? Or is it? Is agnosticism a belief, my belief, my faith? And am I clinging to it as I have admonished the religious for how they cling to theirs? Is that what I'm doing? Otherwise, why am I inside looking out? Are these signs? Are these actual signs? The voice I hear, is she an angel? Is my hesitation from going out into the rain me holding on to my beliefs, my faith? Am I afraid that to go out in the rain, to talk to this voice, am I afraid it will shatter everything I've always believed? I drop my robe, barefoot, wearing only shorts, no shirt. I step outside in the rain. Again, it's early morning. All is quiet. The weather is warm, so the rain feels cool on my skin. I close my eyes. This time it is effortless. I feel almost immediately the sensation comes back. I can feel every raindrop on my skin. But it feels like the raindrops don't stop at the surface of my skin. They penetrate. I feel my body absorbing the, not the rain, but the...
Hello? Can you hear me?
Hello. Yes, I hear you.
Good.
Yes, good. My brain, my heart is racing. If this was the movies, they would create some kind of white or yellow glowing animated affect encircling my body. They would animate it with pulses to indicate the words I'm hearing. But it's not like that. It's just the rain. I can't fully describe it. It's like the rain rests on my skin, but something within each drop penetrates, goes into my body and resonates. When I hear the voice, it's not the contact of the droplets on my skin that makes the sound. It is a voice that has found a way to resonate, reverberate throughout my body to form this voice. It is not a voice in my head. I hear the sound, the voice coming through my ears as I hear any other voice, but I feel the sound being generated by these vibrations coming from within my body. She continues.
You are not frightened. That is good.
No, I'm not frightened.
Good.
I've been looking forward to this.
Really? Your voice indicates otherwise. What is it?
All week I was anticipating.
I thought it would be some sort of supernatural moment in time, talking to the rain.
So here we are.
Yes, but...
But?
I don't know. Is it more than that?
Well, some would say that it's quite a lot.
Yeah, I guess.
But it is not unreasonable to question. Actually, most do.
Most? Not all?
Those who first hear me as adults, there are always questions. Some never grasp what they are hearing, but those who hear me as children, infants even, never question.
So there are others who can hear you? Who talk to you?
Yes, many.
All over the world?
Yes, all around the world.
In every language?
I do not speak any language. I have no language.
Then what am I hearing? It sounds like perfect English.
Yes, you're able to hear in a language that you understand.
So what I'm hearing now would sound different to someone else?
The trees before you, they do not speak your perfect English, but when I speak to them, they understand as only they can.
The trees?
Yes, the trees, as with all living things, they understand.
Does that mean you talk to everything?
No.
Well, I mean, all living things. You talk to all living things?
No, not all living things can hear me.
So you're not just the rain talking?
Just the rain.
What?
That's so reductive.
Sorry.
No, that's not it.
I don't understand.
You asked the question to mask the question you really want answered.
Which is?
Which is?
Why me?
Why you what?
If I was religious, this would be, well, it's more than a sign. I'd say you're an angel. But I'm not religious. So why would an angel talk to me?
So, you've never spoken to an angel?
No.
Do you know anyone who has?
Well, no. Well, I mean, people say they've talked to... But no, not really. Not personally.
Do angels only talk to the religious?
Ah, good point. So you're saying you've come to me because I'm not religious?
At this point, it seems we must reconcile the question as to who came to whom.
Are you suggesting that I sought you out?
You tell me.
I'm agnostic. Why would I be looking for some kind of religious experience?
Is this a religious experience?
I mean, I'm talking to an angel. What else would you call it?
What is an angel?
What do you mean?
Yes, what is an angel? Define angel.
An angel is like a heavenly being or spirit, like a messenger from God.
So you have determined that I am a messenger.
No, you asked, what is an angel? Are you an angel?
I assure you, I am no messenger.
Then, what are you? Who are you?
What do you know of rain?
Rain? Rain is rain. It comes from the clouds. It's water. It's everywhere. Without rain, we can't exist.
Yes.
That doesn't sound like an angel. That sounds more like...
Again, I assure you, I am no messenger.
I stayed outside until the rain stopped. I'm cold. The hot shower feels good, but more than ever before, I noticed the difference between the hot water forced through the faucet hitting my skin compared to the rain. The weight of the steam-filled air, heavy and warm.
(sighs)
I linger in the shower for I don't know how long, lost in thought. All kinds of everything going through my mind. Addie's little red bike, her first bike. Hide and seek in the woods, Cub Scouts. We camped out in sub-zero weather once. Got a merit badge for it. Abandoned railroad tracks. Throwing rocks at the rotting wooden railroad signs. Those tracks that separated us from the white neighborhoods. I was in college before it dawned on me. I had actually grown up on the wrong side of the tracks, literally. Maybe throwing rocks was a subconscious thing, instinctual. I thought of Mother Brown. She was born not long after slavery ended. My life actually intersected with someone who... She remembered everything, all of it. She had stories. Mother Brown reminded me of my favorite scripture, the woman in the scripture. What? Yes, I have a favorite scripture. I'm an agnostic. I'm not a heathen. There are great stories in the Bible. I've always said that, appreciated that. This story, Reverend James preached it often, one of the few sermons that would get her, Mother Brown, up on her feet. Leaning on that thin wooden cane, walking stick as she called it, with one hand, waving and pointing at Reverend James with the other. She was tiny, shrunken with age, but she stood strong and tall during that sermon. Maybe that's why he preached it so often. He knew what it did to her, for her. This story was in the book of Matthew, or Luke, maybe Luke, or both. I can't remember. I don't know. Anyhow, it goes. There was this woman. She was very sick, sick for a long time. She went to a bunch of doctors, spent all her money. Nothing helped. So she'd heard about Jesus and wanted to see if... No, she believed. She believed he was the only one who could heal her. So she went to meet him. When she got there, there was a crowd all around Jesus. Reverend James would fold his arms across his chest in an X, hunch his shoulders, and jostle himself about like he was in a mosh pit. He would steal looks at Mother Brown. She was right there with him. He continued, the woman couldn't get close to Jesus, could not break through the crowd, would not be able to speak to him, tell him why she had traveled all this way just to see him. Reverend James grabs the bottom of his long black robe. Mother Brown knew what was coming. Reverend James, with his thumb and forefinger, runs along the bottom seam. He'd say, she thought if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I don't need words. Words won't get me there. Just the touch, Lord. Touch the hem of his garment. Mother Brown, shaking her fist, touch him, Lord, touch him. This woman knew that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, y'all don't hear me? Touch the hem of his garment, she would be made whole. And then she touched his garment. Jesus stops. The men around him looked. They did not understand. They did not know why. They did not understand why Jesus had stopped. Jesus stopped. He said, someone touched me. Yeah. That's powerful. Tiny water droplets cover the mirror. The entire bathroom is a heavy, damp cloud. Wiping the mirror, I see the reflection of the light overhead dissipated by the steam and think of Charlie's mystical belly dancer. Would Gia see Hala in me? I clear the mirror again. I look at myself. The mirror's wet, distorted image of me, almost looking past or through myself, it finally hits me. I mean, it really hits me. I think I just had a conversation with God. Alexa, what do you know?
The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will be live.
Hey, Addie Bell, what's up?
Hey, baby brother, what you doing?
Chilling. Just got out of the shower. Still in my bathrobe.
Yes, that kind of kind of day.
Mm-hmm.
You talk to Mama?
No, not today. Not yet. I'm going to go by later.
What time?
I don't know.
I'm taking her to dinner. You want to come?
You're not going to that buffet spot, are you?
You know that's her spot.
Yeah, when she's with all those old ladies. Let's go someplace nice. We can split it. No, I'll treat. My treat.
Okay.
No, don't ask. Let's just take her. Tell her to dress up. Not too dressy, but, just nice.
Oh, okay, Mr. Top Chef. What's gotten into you?
What? I can't do something nice for my mother?
It's cool. Just kind of random coming from you.
Well, you know I've been working on improving my randomosity.
Oh, your randomosity!
Randomosity!
Randomosity. You got a lot of things you need to work on. That ain't one of them.
So, are we doing this?
Yeah, I guess.
Just the three of us?
Yeah, JoJo's not back yet. And Charlie's got his kids this weekend.
Okay, cool. Charlie came by last night.
I know, he told me. He said y'all had a good talk.
We did. It was nice. He's changed, huh? Or changing.
Uh-huh. He's finally getting himself together.
Yeah, I think he is.
What about you?
What about me?
When are you gonna get it together?
What are you talking about? I am together. I got this big old house, a great job, a car note paid for, no car payment at my arraignment, note for the plaintiff,
you your daughter's tied up in the Brooklyn basement.
Face it, I'm guilty. Okay, that's baby. How they stay filthy, richer than Richie till the niggas come get me. Biggie,
oh,
can't you
you're
see?
So
sometimes your words just hypnotize me, hypnotize.
I can't
stand you. Oh, shoot, I gotta get this. I'll drive tonight. Pick you up around 7.
5:30. You know she can't eat that late.
Okay, cool. Bye.
Who are you in such a rush to get to? Who's calling?
Bye, Addie.
Oh, shit. It's Robin.
Bye, Addie.
It's Robin, ain't it? Robin?
No, it's not Robin.
Bitch, Baxter.
What makes you think
I
it was her
that
who
was
messed over me?
Girl, I cut him. 100?
What?
Still
what?
Sniffing after her. When you
anyway,
learn,
it's not
huh?
Robin. It's not Robin, okay? Okay, got it.
Alone.
Got it.
What?
Bye.
Jesus,
bye-bye, no, Addie.
So
thank you.
You
bye
work.
Now.
You
bye, Addie. Bye. Bye.
Whatever she asks you for, say no.
It's not Robin.
She only calls you when she needs something.
It's not Robin.
Nancy Reagan, baby brother. Nancy Reagan, just say no.
Got it. Thanks, Addie. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, Baxter, what's up? Nothing right now. I guess, no problem. I'll be there in about an hour. Yeah, no, it's okay. I gotta be back by 4. Right. Okay, bye. As I'm driving to Robin's apartment, I'm not really thinking about her. I mean, Addie may be right. Maybe I should have let go years ago. But with Robin, you know you have that one woman, that one love who will always have that hold on you? For me, that's Baxter. Robin Baxter, my girl Baxter, my first love, my only true love, actually. We still do love each other, probably more than either of us knows or is willing to acknowledge. But she gets me, and I get her. Half the time when I go to her apartment, we're ripping each other's clothes off, going at it like rabbits in heat. The other half, I'm just there to help move a couch. But that's not what's on my mind now. Well, maybe a little, but... Anyway, the only thing that's really on my mind now is the rain. It's no surprise that my mind is whirling, having just spent the morning talking to the rain, to God. It's weird to even say it out loud. Me, a professed agnostic for most of my 37 years on this planet, I'm convinced I had a conversation with God. What? God talks to an agnostic. The only person I can talk to about this is Baxter. I don't know if I'm even ready for that. I can't even imagine telling Addie.
The rain. You was talking to the rain. No, the rain was talking to you. Boy, what kind of crack is you on?
Or Charlie. The old Charlie would be relentless.
Boy, you special, ain't you? They put you on that little short bus, didn't they? You sure it was the rain? I never heard nobody talk to the rain. I seen a wino talk to his piss once, but rain?
Jojo, he would be dismissive, like...
Yeah, all right, whatever. If that's your thing, you know, you do you.
And Mama, and probably the new Charlie, would see it as a sign. It would make her happy, though. She'd hit me with a bunch of religious cliches.
Son, the Lord moves in mysterious ways. He may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. And when God comes calling, you have to answer.
Then the scriptures.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul.
So, yeah, at this time, Baxter is the only person I feel I can talk to about this. What Addie doesn't get about her, and the rest of my family for that matter, is that Baxter doesn't judge me. She doesn't judge me. She sees in me this raw, unfiltered, plain, straightforward kind of package. She just sees and accepts me. And I see that in her too. And maybe that's what makes us too much for each other. It's also the thing that keeps us coming back to each other. I have to admit, it doesn't hurt that she's ridiculously gorgeous, head to toe, dark, satiny, caramel skin, tight curls and eyes that exude passion. She doesn't walk, she floats, glides. She's... Oh, okay, you get the picture. She opens the door. I smell the incense burning. She's wearing a white cutoff tee with white linen tie-up pants hanging low on her hips. We are not moving couches today.
And I want to spread the news that if it feels this good getting used.
God Talks to an Agnostic is written and directed by Don Mays, with sound design by Andy Russ, production management by Annalie Cavallaro, and music contributions by Ashley Frith, the Culmination Group with Edgar Diaz, and the Watson's Gospel Choir. The show features performances by Don Mays, Rose Weaver, Jackie Davis, Rudy Rue Cabrera, Pamela Lambert, Daraja Hines, Jason Quinn, Jeff Hodge, Tanya Montenegro, Scylla Bento, Mindy Brito, Lorraine Guerra, and Becky Davis. God Talks to an Agnostic is produced by the Wilbury Theater Group in collaboration with AFRI Productions, with support from the Rhode Island Foundation's Bannister Black Philanthropy Fund and an Engagement Services and Resiliency Grant from the Rhode Island Department of Commerce. All episodes were recorded at the Waterfire Arts Center in Providence, Rhode Island. View the complete list of available episodes on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. To find out more about the series or to learn more about how you can support our work, visit us online at thewilburygroup.org.
In that scripture, I always focused on Jesus. To be able to feel the woman's touch in a crowd of people, he could feel, differentiate, isolate the single touch of this woman. I now realize the thing that was so powerful, equally powerful, was the woman, her touch, her faith, the power of her faith. Mother Brown had seen, lived through some of the worst this country's had to offer. A direct descendant of parents born into slavery, they relied on their faith. Their faith that they were taught. But there were scriptures, scriptures the enslaved were never taught, never taught. What was denied them were scriptures like, "Woe to the man who builds his house by unrighteousness, and his upper rooms by injustice, who makes his neighbor serve him for nothing
and does not give him wages. Jeremiah 22:13. Yes, I remember the book and passage of that scripture.